excited and the next day we're severely depressed. Give us strong faith, God, that we can set our feet upon and we can move forward from there, advancing in your kingdom, growing and becoming more mature, healthy and strong. Lord, may we not be caught up in our own struggles and troubles, but may we have something to share with others to help them along their journey too. Well, thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, these three verses form the outline of that first portion of Hebrews chapter 11, and we've been talking about it over these past several weeks. First of all is that definition. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Then we have the admonition from the writer of Hebrews. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And finally, that circumstance that is common to every person of faith, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. We've talked about self-confidence a lot, but there's nothing like confidence in God. And that's what faith is. It's knowing that he is going to bring me through. I can't figure out how. I don't know when, but God will indeed do that. And when you are a person of faith, you can walk a little bit higher than everybody else through this life. Oh, you might not be able to see further than anybody else, but you just know God's got my back. It's going to be okay because he's got my back. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Don't even try. Don't even think that you're going to receive anything good from God if you haven't first put your faith and confidence in him, knowing at the beginning of the day, man, it's going to happen somehow. God is going to show up for me. And then don't be discouraged, even if you don't see what you were hoping for, even in this lifetime. Because no person of faith sees all of the promises of God fulfilled in this lifetime. But friend, you will have everything that God has promised to you. It's not about these few short years that we live here. It's about eternity. And God is always working for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. You will always have these struggles in life. There will always be this anti-faith that is attacking you. As God has spoken a word of courage and encouragement over you, well, the enemy comes by and breathes that discouragement. He's trying to get you down, trying to make you not believe, trying to make you bottom out and just be one of those mumbly people with the dark cloud over your head all the time and just moaning and groaning through this life. But that is not what we're called to. And you got these two voices that are working all the time. Which voice are you going to listen to? Which voice are you going to feed? Because the more you listen to the one, the quieter the other becomes. But boy, you start letting Satan get in your ear. You start letting him get you discouraged. You start letting him get you down. Man, he's got volumes that he will feed you. And we got to make sure that we're listening to the right things coming from the Lord. Now, last week, we learned that God will test your faith. Now, we got problems. We're us. And we live with people just like us. And then we know that the devil is fighting against us. But now we find out God is also testing us. Thanks, God. But it's all part of his plan to test and improve our faith. We need to know where we stand in God. We need to know how strong our faith is. And then it's only through testing, it's only through difficulty that it builds its faith muscles and we get stronger in God. And so, we find out where we're at in God as it's tested. He said to Abraham, sacrifice your son Isaac back to me. He said to Moses, choose between political correctness and following my commands. Now, the choice also includes a nice chariot or leading a couple million people through the desert. But you have to make the choice. He said to each one that he called, you have to make a choice. Do you kind of get the feeling like we got a lot of choices coming to us real soon? People are going to make us make a stand one way or another. The gray areas are disappearing, and you're going to have to decide. Oh, we'd all like to just smile and be nice to everybody and be congenial and tell everybody what they want to hear. But those days are quickly passing by, and we're going to have to make a choice. So this morning we're going to consider some times when God really came through for people. You know, wonderful adventures were had by all. These are the accounts we write our bedtime stories about for our children. These are the accounts that we make our Sunday school lessons about. We have these wonderful heroes facing desperate times, and they come through with these wonderful victories from God. Stories full of heroes, villains, and happy endings. Verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Well, the Jews had just escaped the tyranny of slavery. They're feeling pretty good. They're laden with all kind of household goods, gold and silver and the like. They've got weapons for warfare. The Bible says they marched out like an army. They're feeling really good. But when they look up, they see the Egyptian army coming down on them pretty fast. In front of them is the Red Sea. Behind them is this army that is looking like they want to kill. God said to Moses, lift up your staff and I will show you something cool. He did, and the Red Sea parted in front of him. And these walls of water mounted up on either side. And everybody said, whoa. And Moses said, walk through on dry ground. And they said, you first, pal. He said, okay, I will. And by faith, the people of Israel walked across on dry ground with these mountains of water on either side of them. The Egyptians got to the edge of the sea, and they watched the last of the Israelites get over to the other side. They said, you know what? If the Israelites can do it, we can do it too. Now, how many who are familiar with what had happened in the months leading up to all those plagues in Egypt? How many would say that decision on behalf of the Egyptians was pretty stupid? You would say, have you learned nothing over the past months, all the plagues, you know, dark in your house and light in the Israelites' houses? Your animals died, theirs are doing fine. They got through on dry ground. Did you get a connection here at all? And they said, no. Experience has taught us that if the walls have stayed up this long, they're going to stay up just a little bit longer. And so when they got in the middle, the water crashed down on them, and they were all drowned. They were all gone. They were all dead. Now, what made them think they could do it? Faith. They had faith that if an Israelite could do it, they could do it too. They had faith because they just saw a couple million people do it. I guess that's what they... We never saw this rode through the middle of the sea before, but I guess it's a secret passage only Moses knew about, and if they could do it, we could do it too. And this demonstrates something I've tried to emphasize my whole ministry along. Never try to live according to a word God gave somebody else. Never live according to somebody else's word. Seek the Lord for yourself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not the word of Susie or Johnny or Paul. By the word, well, the Apostle Paul, he'd be speaking on behalf of God, but when God speaks into your life, then you have something that you can depend on. Get alone with God and hear from Him. Now, here's a problem we sometimes have. God's timing is not our timing. Let me demonstrate our timing. Let me demonstrate God's timing. Did you see a difference between those two? And often, when we've offered up our request and we're in distress and we need an answer, and that's what we call the test of your faith. You know, that long journey that Abraham took with his son, like I said last week, you'd think that once he loaded the donkey and he got his fire, God would say, okay, I know you're serious about this, it's over. But can you imagine walking up a mountain, knowing with each step when you get to the top, you're going to sacrifice your son? God is okay when thou squirmeth. We don't like to think like that. We like to think, well, if God loves me, He'll cut out all the squirmings. But God is okay when thou squirmeth. Because it's in the squirming that your faith is being exercised and stretched and pushed. You ever see one of those trainers at work? Or did you ever have a coach? You ever go out for a football team or wrestling or something like that and they gave you a coach? What's the coach there for? Oh, you look nice today. Did you get your uniform all right? Is there anything I can do for you? Are you thirsty? We have some cold water over here for you, and we just want to make it comfortable so we're ready for the big game. I want you to feel good about yourself. That's what coaches really major in, right? Making you feel good about yourself? No, they do just the opposite, don't they? Why? They're getting you ready for a victory. And we've got a great coach in the Lord. And I don't know how often it's happened for you, but it happens to me a lot. You get to this point where I cannot take any more. I'm done. Yesterday I was past it. What are you doing? What art thou doing? If we want to make it sound religious. But He knows what He's doing. There is that test of faith. God will speak to you. God will make sense of it all. He may take His time doing it, but friend, you don't have anything until you've heard from God. You don't have victory and you don't have defeat. You need to hear from God. Sometimes when people press in, God says, hey, it's yours. Just hang in there and you're going to see a wonderful. At other times He says, my grace is sufficient for you, pal. You are going to be able to see this through. I'm going to help you one day after another. Whatever it is, He's got it for you. You need to hear from God. And until you hear from Him, that's when faith is really being exercised. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith after the victory's already here. It doesn't take as much faith after you've heard from God and you got all those Holy Spirit goosebumps and you're all excited. Woo! God told me. That's good stuff. But where faith really comes in is between the time you've got a problem and you hear what God has to say to you. That's when faith is most vital. When you're not hearing, when you're not seeing, but you're believing. My God will come through for me. How? I have no idea. When? Beats me. But I trust in my God. That's faith. And when God sees that's the faith that you possess, oh, He gets happy. He does a little God jig up there. And He says, I'll watch my, oh, just watch my smoke now. Watch what I will do for this one who has put their faith in me. And I believe there are times when we look at a poor soul suffering and we can do nothing but weep for them. But if we could see the other side, we would see that they started with a shack. And as they suffered and as they put their faith in God, it just grew into a what do you call them, bi-level. And then it got worse and it got harder and they're suffering even more. We're crying more for them. And they're got themselves a mansion that Michael Jordan would be envious of, you know. We don't receive everything we're going to get in this life, but all the promises are true. And you're going to find out that not one prayer you ever prayed, not one ounce of faith you ever put out there will have been wasted. You'll get to the other side and you'll say, oh, Lord, I should have been filled with more faith. I should have prayed with more courage. Oh, if I'd had only known. And then he's going to bop you on the head, bonk, you know, that I could have had a V8, bonk. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? Have faith in God. Listen for what he has to say to you. Faith that the walls would hold saved Israel. Can you imagine that there were a few people who were a little resistant to go through there? But faith that the walls would hold saved Israel. Faith that the walls would hold killed the Egyptians. You need to hear from God. Not just what somebody else heard from God. You need to hear from God. We've already alluded to the fact that for the Egyptians to follow, that took faith. It didn't make sense for them to do it given the history of what they'd just been through. But the fact that they had the faith to do something stupid was a miracle itself. Yeah. I could see Joshua and Caleb standing on the other side and they see the Egyptians all lined up. And Caleb says, ain't that stupid. And Joshua says, I'll bet you a goat they do. All right, I'll bet you a goat they do. And that's where we get that saying, don't let them get your goat. Now that last part I'm not real sure of, but I do know the rest of what I was telling you is true. By faith, they defeated the Egyptian army. There were heroes, there were villains, and a happy ending. Then we move on to our next verse. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Wow. Joshua led the people into the promised land, right up to these massive walls of Jericho. How'd they penetrate those huge stones? Catapults, siege ramps, battering rams, a Trojan horse. No, 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 and nope. They did it by faith. God spoke a word to Joshua. Joshua obeyed that word. The whole nation acted on it. And a great victory was won. They marched around the city until the walls fell down. There were heroes, villains, and a happy ending. On to the next verse, verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Rahab, a prostitute inside Jericho, heard the stories about this great God that did wonderful things for the people of Israel. She said, oh, that's the God I want to serve. She put her faith in him. When the Israelite spies came to look over and see what was inside Jericho, she hid them from the people that were trying to get them. And thus she saved her whole family from destruction. Now think about it. Her house was built into the wall. And the walls came tumbling down. They all fell except her little section. Isn't that awesome? God protected her and her family even while he destroyed all of the enemies. Why did her house stand when all the others crumbled? It stood by faith. This woman put her faith in God. She believed what she heard. She acted on it. And she was saved in every sense of the word. And so we have a heroine, we have villains, and we have a great victory. Faith wins again. Then the writer of the Hebrews goes on, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Woohoo! Now this is where we find out that the writer to the Hebrews was in a hurry. He said, I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. Hey, man, I got places to go. But there's so many stories, is what he's telling us. Man, just look at the Bible. They are full of accounts of villains and heroes and great victories, all because of faith. This stuff really works. There were all these incredible judges and prophets and kings, and when they got a word from the Lord and they acted on it, woo-hoo! Victory was won every single time. They were heroes going up against great villains, winning happy endings for their generation. There are so many stories in the scripture about people getting a word from God, going up against, you know, David and Goliath, you know, all that stuff, that a preacher can spend his whole ministry talking about nothing but victories. And many preachers, that's all they talk about. They encourage their listeners to do exactly what the people in the Bible did, acting on the word that they got from the Lord, and expecting nothing but happy endings all the time. They encourage people to settle for nothing less than what they want in life. Now, do you see what I just did there? Instead of saying, don't settle for anything less than what God wants, we change that to don't settle for anything less than what you want. See a difference between those two things? Now, I believe in the word of faith. And I love a good encouraging sermon every once in a while. And I love those stories to this day. March around those walls, 70, walls come down. Good stuff. David running across a field with a little piece of leather and a couple of stones. Hallelujah. Who was David trying to glorify? If it was all about David, he'd have been running the other direction. No. But he said, you have defied the armies of the living God. You have cursed the Almighty. And I ain't going to put up with that. He was there for the honor of his God. The good news is, most of the time God wants you healthy and strong and prosperous. He wants you well. And ultimately, that's exactly what we're all going to receive. Great things in God. But in this life, we may know some hard times. You remember verse 13? One of the verses we started with, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. I remember the testimony of our children's pastor for the district. His first wife passed away from cancer. And while he was rushing her to the hospital for the final time, she said, "Look at all those people." He said, "What people?" She said, "The streets are lined with people, and the overpasses, they're packed on the bridge, and they're all cheering." And that's when he knew this would be their last car ride together. Not all the cheering comes on this side of glory, but oh, there's coming a day, my friends. There's coming a day. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. What if I pray and I'm trusting God and he doesn't heal me? I know other people that have been healed and they're doing great and I'm walking with a limp and I have pain and I don't understand what all's going on. Well, leave room for next week's message when it comes to that. But understand for today, you can trust him and he will help you. Sometimes he thunders from heaven and there's a miraculous healing and you will never have to face that enemy or struggle again. Hallelujah. Those are my favorites. At other times, he says, "Take my hand and we're going to get through this together." And you will learn more about yourself and more about your God in those times than through anything else in all of life. Ultimately, however, every believer will be healed, at peace, joyful, and glorified. Amen. Have faith in God. Don't be a distance believer. See, all the unbelievers, they stand outside and they say, "But God did this and he didn't do that. And why, if there is a God, and why that?" My best advice to them, ask him. Talk to him. Lift your questions up. He still speaks. He still answers. He helps us each and every day. And friend, if you're one of those believers that you've trusted God, you've seen great things in your life, but right now you're in a desert, and you're wondering, why isn't God speaking to me? He did it before. Is there sin in my life? Have I committed some unpardonable error? Or is this not real anymore? No, 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 no. Just like Abraham, just like with Moses, he's testing your faith. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If I never see a good day for the rest of my life, I trust in him. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Brother, sister, don't get tripped up over hard days. Don't get messed up over long, dry seasons. We all go through them. But our God is a mighty God. He will see us through. And friends, when we get to the other side, I don't know, there's no way to describe it. I don't know if you've ever been dog thirsty and got a nice tall glass of ice water. Glunk, 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 glunk. I don't know if you've ever been on your feet all day and you laid down in your bed and you just laughed because it felt so good and relaxing. I don't know if you ever really, 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 really wanted something really, really, really bad, and then you got it. None of that compares. When we get to the other side, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. So, brother, sister, please let me be your cheerleader together today. Let me encourage you to keep it together for one more day. Just a few more weary days and then we'll fly away. Hallelujah. And we will dance on golden streets. And try to remember, what was it like to worry? What did pain feel like anyway? Oh, I don't even remember. Let's just giggle. Oh, what a day it will be. Would you stand with me this morning?